Today on VFN TV, we're going to be discussing where are we on the end times timetable with Joel Rosenberg, as well as education in the United States, the past, the present, and the future, critical thinking versus learning. Join us now.
Welcome to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light.
This is what I saw this morning. The United Apostates of America. Boy, when I saw that, my heart dropped. But it really set it for me that America has become, by and large, apostate now.
Deep-seated cultural codes, religious beliefs have to be changed.
We've got our back up against the wall in a way that we haven't before. You're going to have to bow or you're going to have to burn. But we're choosing to stand up, and if we burn, we burn, but we're not going to bow.
It was quite a shock for us because we used to watch the news on TV that ISIS took over Mosul, but we've never thought someday in a few hours we'll be out of our homes.
I mean, we're talking about not a 25-year, not a 100-year storm, but probably a storm that may never have been seen and may never be seen again.
We haven't seen this level of rain in the Lowcountry in 1,000 years. That's how big this is.
We in the administration and the government should give voice to the plight of Muslims living in this country.
I've come here to Cairo to seek a new beginning between the United States and Muslims around the world, one based on mutual interest and mutual respect, and one based upon the truth that America and Islam are not exclusive and need not be in competition. Instead, they overlap and share common principles.
We already know the news. We're trying to change that news.
You have to be blind not to know that America's in real trouble.
Christianity started as a relationship in Israel when God came to man. He went to Greece to become a philosophy, to Rome to become a religion, to Europe to become a tradition and part of the culture, and then to America to become an enterprise.
What I got so clear in a dream last night that I believe is pretty imminent for our country. They were invading the Southwest United States. There were droves. It was coming like a plague. They were ranked in these gangs, and these gangs were like military gangs. They had military equipment, but their ranking was based, I think, gained by their cruelty and by their insatiable desire to be even more cruel in the way they killed people. This was far more diabolical than ISIS. I mean, what I saw, just cutting off people's heads would have been merciful, is pretty imminent for our country, the United States.
Every day of freedom is like an act of faith. And if we should die trying to live, then at least we die like human beings.
You know, we're at that moment in time, and what are we going to do with it? Understand this, if God's on your side, you're on the majority side, no matter if the whole world is against you.
You were born under an appeal to me, and when there was no way, I made a way. And no matter how bad it looks today, how big the giants look, if you'll call on everlasting God and you'll tap into that covenant, you'll take out these giants.
He asked me to come and pray for him and also pray for the city. Would you extend your hands this way? Father God, we just thank you for our new chief, David Alexander. We thank you for the man of God he is. Lord, you said that the seat of the righteous will rise and the seat of evil will come down. And we just declare those words over the Gulf Coast, God, and we pray, Lord, that we would dedicate the city to you.
We've come this night to Capitol Hill to declare that our God is not Baal, our God is not Molech, our God is not government, our God is not money, our God is not power, not pleasure, our God is not political correctness or any other man-made thing. We've come to this hill to declare that there is only one God, and he is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's the God of Israel and of all nations. He alone is the rock upon which this nation has come into existence.
If you want biblical times, you've got it. You want the book of Acts? It's coming. You want the days of Elijah? It's here. It's time to become the Elijahs of the day.
But think about these seven mountains of culture. You could call them
the religion mountain, which will be the church mountain, the family mountain, the education mountain, the government mountain, the media mountain, arts and entertainment and business. When we go into these mountains and make disciples, we can change the world.
May I say just a word to those of you who are struggling against this evil? Let me say to you to always struggle against it with Christian methods.
How many times have you screamed and yelled at your TV because of secular media was saying things you know wasn't true, some sort of political persuasion? They were given 5-second blurb to a miracle of God, and you got upset with it. But you go back to it again and again and again. What can you do? This is an answer.
Lord, raise up mighty men and women. Raise up young people. Raise up voices, not echoes. Voices that can come through and make politicians and judges shake in their boots. Raise up prophetesses. Put a sure word in their mouth. Let it hit the news channels. Let America know God is not through with America. Revival! Revival!
With your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV. I'm John Ramos, and I'm filling in today for Greg Lancaster. Joining me in a few is Steve Kolaszewski. Well, we want to just thank you for watching all over the Gulf Coast. We're so grateful that you have us today in your living rooms, wherever you're watching VFN TV. But we're going to be discussing today end times. End times. Listen, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to know that we are living in the last days. But it's so important to know what this the prophetic timetable is. Where are we in all of this? And it causes me to think about Matthew 24, when the disciples asked Jesus, what are the signs of your coming? And the very first thing that Jesus says to the disciples is, don't be deceived. It is so important that in this hour we are walking closely with the Lord, we're abiding with Him, and that we're not only in our dialogue, in our prayer, talking to God in prayer, but we're actually listening and hearing God to what He has to say to us and for this hour. I want you to listen and to see as Joel Rosenberg begins to talk about where we are in this timetable and what we are to do moving forward. Watch this.
Joel, it's great to be with you back here in the epicenter, in the Temple Mount here in Jerusalem.
It's an honor. Thank you, Chris.
Great to be with you. A lot of things have happened since we last talked, and especially the biggest development is Vladimir Putin has come into Syria in a big way militarily. What's your reaction to this development?
We are watching a catastrophic capitulation by the American government in the Middle East. It was bedrock U.S. foreign policy for 6-7 decades to keep the Russians out of the Middle East. And yet we have President Obama and his administration have surrendered. We have withdrawn, we have surrendered, we have ceded the playing field to Vladimir Putin, who is a czar rising, he's an imperialist, he's dangerous. And the fact that he is operating with abandon, with complete freedom, militarily, just a few miles north of Israel is stunning and incredibly dangerous.
What are the consequences for the region and for Israel as well?
From my perspective, the first question you have to ask is, are we watching the preparations for the war of Gog and Magog? When you look at the prophecies of Ezekiel 38 and 39, and if you conclude, as I have, that the historical detective work leads you to that Magog is Russia, then you are looking for an evil leader emerging in Magog, in Russia, who will form a military alliance with Iran and a group of other countries that will come against Israel in the last days from the north. Now, in the 2,500 years since Ezekiel wrote that prophecy, Russia and Iran never had a military alliance, or they were never even friends. The last time Russia ever took military operations of this magnitude in the Middle East was to invade Iran at the end of World War II. Does that mean the prophecies of the War of Gog and Magog will happen soon or even in our lifetime? No, this could be decades or theoretically centuries off. However, when you actually have Russia and Iran fighting on the same side, just miles north of the mountains of Israel, it does give you pause. Iran, who curses Israel every single day of the year, and every few days or every few weeks says we're going to annihilate the Jewish state, Israel's going to disappear. What Russia, look, I don't believe that Russian leaders, Putin namely, understand the apocalyptic eschatology or end times theology of Iran's leaders. I believe that Putin is a czar, he's an imperialist, he sees an opportunity. He sees President Obama cutting and running, surrendering, capitulating from the Middle East. He sees an opportunity to move. So I believe that Putin is a power play for him, but he doesn't understand who he's working with. Iran's leaders are apocalyptically motivated. They have an end times theology, and that is so different from the way Putin sees the world. But the danger is that Putin could get hooked into an attack or a threat against Israel that he doesn't initially plan because he doesn't know who his partners are.
And all of the things that are going on, what do people in the West, particularly the United States, need to know about what's happening here in the Middle East?
Darkness is falling on this region, on the world, but darkness is falling on this region. Muslims are being slaughtered by the hundreds of thousands. There are more than 300,000 dead just in Syria. This is genocide. And it's happening right on the border of a country born out of the ashes of genocide. Every political leader in the United States has always said, never again. We'll never allow the Holocaust to happen again. And yet, the Obama administration is helping Iran on the pathway to having genocidal weaponry. Christians need to understand that these are dark times. Now, there's hope. Christ is coming, and we need to spread the gospel, and people are coming to Christ, Muslims, Jews, more than ever before, out of the chaos and the darkness. But the church can't wait for the American government or any government to do the right thing. We have a command, a series of commands from Christ. Proclaim the gospel, care for the poor, strengthen the church, pray for the persecuted, stand with the suffering. And that's what we need to be doing like never before.
Certainly a time to be praying for the peace of Jerusalem and the whole Middle East. Thank you.
Wow, this is so important. It reminds me of Ephesians 5, where Paul instructs us to be very careful how we're to live, not as the unwise, but to make the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Listen, we are in the end times. And this is the moment. This is when we are to arise and to let the light of God shine upon us and preach the gospel to everyone, everywhere, all the time, so that we can be part of this end time gathering of souls. Listen, Jesus is coming back, and we want you to go back with him. Listen, this is the time to preach the gospel and the good news and to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Join us when we get right back from this break.
BFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at BFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
I want to say this, you know, I want to thank all of our VFN TV partners who stand with us.
Yes.
And it's amazing how we're standing together mm-hmm. to be able to do this. And we have so many things as a thank you for our, you know, your partnership, as you know. We have an entire partnership area, you know,
yeah,
in regards to
what's
available there. But today, as a matter of fact, right now we have an offer for our VFN TV partnerships of a free gift for you for those that partner today. It is a weapon of peace. And you think about it. Jesus said in John 14:27, peace I leave with you. Peace I give to you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. Mm. Trust in God.
Trust in God.
That all these things that we're hearing as believers, you know, we can have peace. I mean, you look at this guy right here. I mean, you look at him kicked back and relaxed. And this is how we should be. This is exactly how we should be. And if we don't have that peace, it's like, I have what the world has, because he gives us this peace. And so I want to encourage you. We have that available for you right now. You can call. You can go online at VFNTV.com, as you're seeing right here. You can call, go online at VFNTV.com, a partner now, or you can go till you see the mailing address. You can even mail in your gift, a gift of any size whatsoever. And this gift's available for you in DVD or CD. You request it.
And as a partner,
that is amazing.
You want to get this because you may be able to share this with somebody else. Today, so many people are struggling with anxiety and stresses and fears.
Right.
And there's nothing like the peace of God.
Right.
And you can introduce them to the Prince of Peace. So please get this. Be a part and share it with a friend.
And it's a weapon. You think about it. You know, somebody's breaking into your house. You grab a bat, you grab a gun, you grab something to protect yourself. Well, here we are, and all these things taking place in the world right now. He's left us the weapon of peace. He tells us to have our feet fitted with the gospel of peace. Where we're walking and what we're doing, you got to have this peace. And this is a message that's going to really encourage you. Just want to give it to you for your partnership of any amount. Like I said, go to VFNTV.com. You can call or you can write. And join the many partners that are keeping us going. And we want to keep the light shining all the way around the nation.
That's right.
And around the world.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
We're going to be talking about today, Steve, education in the United States. Education has come a long way from the original intent and where it is today. You got to start wondering, like, what is happening in school? You hear today about Common Core, and you're hearing about all these different things that are going on with public education. But we're going to be having a discussion, if you will, about education past, present, and where education is going in the future. And it's so important because today, you know, you find that a lot of people are not really growing in the depths of knowledge. Technology has come so far almost to a fault where today a lot of people don't think that they have to know things as long as they have a device next to them that they can Google it. Yeah. You know, if I can just get the information, I don't have to have it in my brain. Right. I don't have to learn it. We have technology today that helps us in so many different ways where things become easy. They streamline our life so we don't have to know anything. Yeah. You know, it just happens. We hit a button and things just appear. And we don't have to exercise the brain. And you know what they say, you know, just like a muscle, if you don't use it, you lose it.
Yeah.
And I see that, you know, hey, I can use more of mine. I know I'm working on it. But if we don't exercise this gift that God's given us.
Perishable.
Man, we're done. It's over.
Yeah. And we've deceived ourselves in thinking that we're smarter just because we have more access. It's just like, no, we just have more access.
That's it. Doesn't mean you have more brains or more knowledge or more skill sets. Right. And that's what something that you know, we're depleting. They're saying today that graduates are, their reading levels are so low and their comprehension, they can read words, but they can't even fully understand the implications of what they're reading. And so today we have a society that just says, just download it. Do you have an audio for that? I don't, you know, you have to put articles that are so small because they won't even bother to fully read it. Some reports are that most adults, once they leave high school, they'll never read a book their entire life, not a single book. And that's important because reading, as we have learned, is fundamental.
Yes.
You got to learn to read. You got to learn to understand. You got to put concepts together so that you can actually function and be productive in society and in this world. And we want to, you know, we're going to join together Glenn Beck and David Barton as they begin to discuss learning versus critical thinking. There's a big difference because critical thinking involves just that, thinking, analyzing, asking questions, and exercising our brain to come to a conclusion as opposed to learning an indoctrination, if you will, a formula, something that's just being told and we just accept it as truth. But there wasn't any kind of mental gymnastics taking place to make sure that how did I arrive to this conclusion? I want you to watch Glenn and David as they begin to unfold this discussion. Watch now.
For centuries, American education was designed to teach individuals how to think. We didn't just memorize factoids and sound bites and talking points, which is what Congress does and what so many liberals do. We used to actually train students to develop the mental acumen that was necessary to think through whatever came up and be able to handle anything that came through.
Let me tell you something. This is a story. When I was at Yale, and I think I've told this story before, but this is really important. The professor told me, I asked him a question, and it was about Dominic Crossan. You know who Dominic mm-hmm. Crossan is? Guy who doesn't even believe that Jesus really was the Son of God or anything. He's a Catholic theologian. And I'm reading Dominic Crossan stuff. And I said to the professor, Wayne Meeks, I said, Professor, Dominic Crossan says so-and-so, such-and-such-and-such-and-such. And he said, what are you reading? And I said, I'm reading, I don't remember what it was, but Dominic Crossan. And he said, don't read Dominic Crossan. He's going to screw you all up. Read this. I said, okay. The next week I came in, and I had read what the professor had told me to read, but I hadn't had my answer on Dominic Crossan yet. And I said, hang on just a second. Professor, could you tell me why? And I asked the same question, and he said, Mr. Beck, didn't I tell you last week to stop reading Dominic Crossan? I said, Professor, you told me to read this. I read that. You didn't tell me why you disagree mm-hmm. with Dominic Crossan. Mm-hmm. He looked at me and he went, can I see you after class? He took me to lunch, and he asked me, why are you here? And I said, because I want to learn how to think. I want to learn how to think. He had not been approached by an underclassman in I don't know how long saying that. Most people just want, they would accept, don't read that, read this. Okay, well, that doesn't tell me how to think. That mm-hmm. doesn't teach me how to look for the answer. Mm-hmm. I have to look for the answer. I don't want your answer.
That's right.
I want my answer. Question with boldness.
And that's what we used to do in education. As a matter of fact, look at the old books that we used, and one of the ways we taught thinking skills was this little book here.
That's a deadly book. That's deadly.
We used it for generations. It's called Isaac Watts' Improvement of the Mind, and it was all about thinking, and that's what we taught the students. We also taught students how to think through exercises in this book. Now, this book has a lot of what are called forensics and forensics exercise, and this is for 13 and 15-year-old kids that they did. And forensics, by the way, it simply means the study or the art of argumentation and debate. So we're talking 13 and 15-year-old kids with this book, and look at some of the forensics they had.
Most Americans, I don't care, you could have your doctorate, and you'll struggle with that book.
Oh, you'll struggle with this.
You'll struggle.
Yeah. Here's one. Is there less danger in believing too much or too little? Now, the way this worked is the professor, the instructor, would walk into the class. He'd say, here's our forensic for today. Is there less danger in believing too much or too little? Okay, you're for it, you're against it. Go after each other. Doesn't matter what you believe, doesn't matter which side you take. You now have to develop arguments and strengths of for your side and identify the weaknesses on the other side.
David, can I ask you a question? Does this come from... Is this evidence that we are truly a Judeo-Christian nation? Because that's what Jews do. This is how Jews learn the Torah.
This is exactly how they learn. And by the way, I'm going to show you some more about how we did the same thing. Because it's Judeo-Christian, or if you want to say it's biblical. This is a biblical approach. Right. And this is using the mind. And this is the way they learn the Torah. And this is the way we used to learn American education. Now, the more secular we become, the less we think, the more we get into indoctrination. But look at some of the other forensics that they had here. I associate with no one. I employ no one who's not of my party in religion and politics. Now, we're talking 200 years ago. We can still argue that one today. Yeah. We still get this kind. Look at the next one. Here's one. Is there more to be gained or lost by a new translation of the scriptures for common use? That's still a debate I hear in religious circles all the time.
And nobody can answer it.
Nobody, not
answer it. These aren't meant to be answered. Nobody can argue this.
That's right. And see, that's the thing, because there is not a right or wrong answer to any of these questions. And that was the point, is, all right, now we're going to flip sides. Now you're for it and you're against it, because you've got to learn how to think through this stuff. Find the weaknesses in his argument. What are the strengths in his argument? And we taught thinking. Here's one more. This one, whether the conduct of the patriots who destroyed the tea in Boston Harbor in 1773 is to be condemned. All right, Boston Tea Party, do we praise it? Do we condemn it? I can make an argument from both sides right now.
Me too.
I can... That's 13 and 15-year-old kids. That's
David, can you still buy that book?
No, this is not available that I know.
We need to reprint. We need to take the salient points of this, and we need to reprint it or make it available mm-hmm. online. You know what this is great for? You know what we need to do? We need to make these into little cards. I just got a little box, and they're stupid questions. We went through about 20 of them at dinner the other day, and they were like, these are weak questions. you put these in a little box, yeah, and put it on your kitchen table, yeah, when you're eating dinner at night and say, here's the topic, gang.
Yeah. See, we used to, and I'm going to go back to your thing about this being the way that Jews did it. I want to show you a scripture that we recognize, Proverbs 22:6. Probably most people have heard this scripture. And it says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he won't depart from him. And what we think is, oh, if I train my kids when they're young, when they're older, they'll be in the way. That's not what the original marginal said. The original marginal says this, not train up a child, it says catechize a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he won't depart. Now, catechize, that's a teaching method. That's asking questions. Look at this. These are all old textbooks. Here is a catechism on agricultural chemistry and geology. Here is a catechism on astronomy. Here is a catechism on science and entomology, the study of insects. Here's a catechism on ancient history, a catechism on music. This is a catechism on botany, on chemistry, on electricity, 1840s, catechism on electricity. Here is the New England Primer, the first textbook ever used in America, 1690. It has the shorter catechism in here. Here is a catechism on U.S. history. Here is a catechism on American law. Here is, I love this one, this is a catechism on the Constitution from 1828. It's for elementary students. And I'll guarantee you, you ask congressmen, you ask a Supreme Court justice these questions today, and they're not going to get them. But notice it's
I'd like to borrow that. I've got some presidential candidates still coming
in. See if they can pass. But notice it's the use of catechisms, because if you catechize someone in the way that it's a teaching, we don't do that anymore. See, catechism is all about asking questions. And when you ask questions, what you start doing is you say, okay, I've got to answer the who, I've got to answer the what, and the when, and the where, and the why, and the how. And when you do that, you master a subject. When you can do catechism, you start asking all these questions, and you start mastering subjects.
It is, honestly, it's why the GOP is now falling apart, I believe, because when I was at Fox, we taught people ask questions about the progressives.
Yeah.
We didn't get on and just say, these guys are bad. I got in trouble all the time because I was asking questions. I said, I'm not accusing anything. I'm just asking a question. How did a communist get into the White House and gain access to the president of the United States? How did that happen? People weren't asking questions.
They weren't asking questions.
They just would say, this way or that way,
that's right.
And you accept it. And the American people need to ask questions. When we're looking to elect a new president, you should be asking questions. Wait a minute. I know that this guy is saying the things that I like, but wait a minute. How does that fit with this over here? And he did this, and that doesn't work. And you need to ask all of those questions. And when something sticks out, one of your facts is wrong. When something doesn't fit, you know, you got to start all over from the beginning because one of those is wrong. Am I right?
That's the way we used to teach, and that's the way we used to think, and that's why we didn't have this kind of problem two generations ago.
We don't teach that way anymore.
See, what happened, progressive educators took over. And look at some of these progressive educators. You go to progressive education in the 1920s, you got Francis Whalen, you got folks like Robert Ingersoll, and you got William Hurd Kilpatrick, and you got John Dewey, of course, and then you got Lester Ward. All these are progressives, and they came in and redid education, and it's interesting the things they went through. As you look at what progressives did in education, they start by going in the 1920s, and they come up with what we call graded education. Prior to that, we didn't care what grade you were in. How much did you know? All right, you know a lot, you go here, these guys know what you know, these guys. But we said, no, you've got to be in grades. We don't care what you know. You're in the third grade, you're in the fifth, you're in the seventh, whatever. So from graded education, we then go to emphasizing the group, not the individual. We're no longer concerned with you learning. Your seventh grade class has to learn. Your third grade class, we go to the groups.
Wow.
And so now we make it 12. Prior to the progressive, we only had 8 years of education in America. When you look at the eighth grade exit exams, most doctoral students today can't pass an eighth grade exit exam from the 1920s.
Oh my God. They can't pass. Most 12-year-olds or 12th graders can't pass a fourth grade exam from today.
Exactly right.
I tell you, David, I've read. See, we have to share some of these online. I've read some of those things. I don't even understand some of the questions.
No, that's exactly
right. I don't even understand the questions.
And that's 8th graders, and that was an exit exam.
Correct.
So then they went to 12 years, and by the way, we're going to force you to go for 12 years. So that's where we introduced compulsory. We had great education in America, and it was not compulsory. We taught it because we knew the value of education. Now, from this, what happened is they started focusing on the teacher, not the student. The most important thing in the classroom is you, the teacher. You kids, listen to your teacher. What that means is you've now changed it from where you're not emphasizing thinking, you're emphasizing learning. So it's in the 1920s is the first time ever that we introduced true, false, multiple choice, and fill in the blank, because, you see, we want you to spit back to us whatever your teacher told you. The teacher's the most important thing in the classroom, not you kids. So the teacher told you this. Now, which of these answers is the one that so we go into this learning process. We're no longer thinking, and so we change our testing, and the result is that's where you get indoctrination, because it all comes from the teacher. You don't know how to think anymore. Let us just feed you. Don't go catch a fish yourself. We want to feed you. This is what we've been through now for 100 years in America, and that's why we can't think anymore. And that's why, even though we're conservative and we like the Constitution, we like our values, we can't think through how to answer these wild accusations.
This is amazing. We can't think. This is the problem. We can't think. And it's important to know, like, when did this, 1920s? Mm-hmm. You'd be surprised at the massive changes that occurred in the 20s.
Wasn't always like this.
Because I often, wondered, how did they do those things back then?
Mm-hmm.
But they were actually smart. They knew stuff. And today it's like we'd rather have a computer thinking for us than for us to think ourselves. We'd rather, get a summary as opposed to reading the entire book and working through it. And when we get back from this break, we're going to continue to unpack this a little bit more, but we're also going to have Mr. Everett Piper. He is the president of Wesleyan Oklahoma University, and he begins to share some amazing thoughts about education and the purpose of education, that it is to seek truth. That's the purpose, not an opinion. Join us when we get right back from this break.
Thank you for watching VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light and focused on Israel.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
What if, suddenly, you had an extra 2 hours a week to do whatever you wanted, just for yourself? I'm John Fuller, and this is Focus on the Family Minute. Erin Davis is a young mom with two boys and another on the way, but she figured out how to schedule 2 hours of free time every week.
I have two other mom friends. We do something called Mom Swap every week, where one mom gets 2 hours off, the other two moms keep the other two kids, and it's a lifesaver, and so you've got to do that. And when I say to moms, you've got to find other mom friends, they say, I just don't know how, I don't know anybody like that. They expect that to just fall into their lap. But listen, in our culture where this isn't valued, it's not going to fall into your lap. You're
going
to have to seek it out, and it is worth the hard work to find other Christian moms.
Coordinating a mom swap won't be easy, but as Erin said, it'll be worth the effort, and you'll be a better mom for it. We've got more encouragement for your journey raising kids at focusonthefamily.com/parenting.
Listen to this. This is what God says. If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will heal their land. Right now, when so many things are happening in America, people are going to Washington, D.C. and protesting and trying to push the government to do things against God's way. This man with tears in his face, when they put the mic in his face, he said exactly what we need to hear and what we need to do. Listen.
What's brought you to tears?
I want to personally repent for everything I've done to bring this up in this country. And if we do not repent of our sins, we will not recover. America will not recover.
Dear God, forgive us for our sins and what we've done to cause this to come amongst our nation.
Pat, you know the great thing about all of our VFN radio listeners is that so many of them are connecting to us on Facebook. You know, we have a Facebook page. You may be listening today. You may not be aware, but we do. And you can go to facebook.com/VFNTV, or you can go to our VFNTV.com and click Facebook. Be a part. Like us. Tell your friends to like us. We're creating a virtual stadium where everyone can connect and be a part and get fresh updates on everything that happens that day on the program. Don't forget, go to VFNTV.com and click Facebook.
Welcome back to VFNTV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Wow. Well, imagine the possibilities if we really begin to think and change the way we quote unquote do education. Mm-hmm. Because you know what you're finding is that, hey, this change that came in place, wow, what are the things that they're teaching our children? Mm-hmm. It's an indoctrination. It's not set up for them to be able to discover and learn truth and ask the questions and dig deeper. Mm-hmm. But it's more so, this is what we think that you should know. And now we're going to give you a test to measure the fact that you were able to memorize. Because the truth is, I mean, did you learn it or did you memorize it so you can take the test?
Yeah.
I mean, it's all about the test. You're in school,
data
it's all
dump,
about
next
getting
class,
the test.
Data dump next. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And then you got to clean the hard drive so that you can, you know, memorize the next group of answers for the next test, you know? We need to stop the madness. We need to be able to say, hey, how can I be involved? The other thing, too, is for parents to be involved in education. I think that society has set it up now where it's kind of like we just take off the responsibility and send our children to school. But, you know, I'm of the belief that education's responsibility is yours, the parent. And you have some options. I mean, you have a public school system if that's what you choose. You can do a private education, whether that be a Christian education. You can homeschool and teach your children at home. But these are the options that you have available to you, and you need to find out which one is best for you and your family according to your values. And it's important that we engage our young people and begin to start asking them questions that require them to actually think. And when you think about that, they completely turned it over from, you know, a question-oriented catechism, if you will, designed. Here, I'm going to define catechism for you because that even look it up. It's a summary of the principles of Christian religion in the form of questions and answers used for instructions of Christians. But they use the same method in all these different subjects. And the whole idea was to ask questions so you can actually come to a conclusion, which was an answer.
Right.
Instead of just go ahead and give me the answer. I want you to join as we continue to join, rather, Glenn Beck, David Barton, and also Everett Piper, the president of Oklahoma Wesleyan University, as he begins to share his thoughts about education, and particularly in college. Watch this.
So I asked David, I don't even know, a few months back. I said, David, we have to, and I'm not the guy to teach it, we have to learn critical thinking again. We have to be able to teach people how to think and how to teach their kids, not what to think, how to think. Where do we even begin?
I think you begin by reclaiming the high ground of what higher education. I'm in the university system. I'm the president of a university, so that's my sweet spot, if you will. The liberal arts education was established, let's say, in Oxford and Cambridge in 1100 AD. To do what? The liberal arts education was established to liberate, to educate a free man and a free woman, to educate a culture and a society for liberty and liberation and freedom. We need to reclaim the high ground of what education is for. Education is not about information, it's about integrity. It's not about a career, it's about character. Education shouldn't be about what's common, it should be about what's excellent. And all of that presupposes that you're pursuing something, an objective reality. You're pursuing truth because truth is real, and that's the goal of education. Find out what's true. I don't pat my kids on the back at Oklahoma Wesleyan University when they graduate and say, congratulations, you've earned a degree in opinions. I don't give them a diploma that says you majored in opinions. In fact, I don't care what their opinion is, and they shouldn't care that much about what my opinion is. They should know what's true in their relative discipline. For example, nursing. If all they got out of a nursing major was an opinion on how to administer medication, they need to stay away from me because they're dangerous. Opinions are dangerous. Truth sets us free. Does that sound like a familiar quote? Mm. Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. The goal of education should be truth, not opinions. But in postmodernity, we dumb down education from liberty and classical liberalism, if you will, to progressive constructs of what we believe should be true, opinions. Pol Pot had an opinion. Mao had an opinion. Robespierre had an opinion. Chavez and Hitler and Mussolini all had opinions. All the despots of history had opinions, and it didn't end well. Truth sets you free. And this is a winning argument, because who among us wants to argue against freedom? Who among us wants to argue against liberty and liberation? Who among us wants to enslave people to the bondage of Pol Pot or Robespierre? This is a winning argument, and this is what educators should be working toward. And this is why I titled, this is a little shameless self-promotion, I titled a book of mine, Glenn, Why I'm a Liberal and Other Conservative Ideas. Why I'm a Liberal and Other Conservative Ideas. I'm poking a stick in the eye of the progressive establishment and saying, I'm more classically liberal than you are.
Correct.
Because I believe in liberty and freedom and justice. I believe in righteousness. I believe in a measuring rod outside of those things being measured, C.S. Lewis, because without it, you can do no measuring. That's good education.
Okay, so I'm a dad, and I'm watching you, and I'm just making it up. Let's say I've got two 20-something children and then a 9 and a 11-year-old. And I'm listening to you, and I'm thinking, that is fantastic. I have no idea where to start. How do I start? Because this is foreign. This is not what we learned in school. You're my age. You didn't learn any of this in school. You weren't taught how to think. You were taught what to think. And it's worse now. So for somebody who is just sitting here going, yes, okay, I want that. How do you even begin? Where do you begin?
Well, first, we've got a limited amount of time here. So let me just say this. Don't be intimidated. The listener should not be intimidated. I'm a blue-collar kid that came from a mom and dad that didn't have a high school degree. And lots of people have a similar story. I went to work in a factory out of high school, and I also worked in an apple orchard picking apples with migrant workers. Many would have argued that I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer, if you will. We can't be intimidated by progressive postmodernity because it's nothing but pablum. It's nothing but mush. It makes no sense. Just because somebody has an opinion doesn't make it true. You guys were arguing earlier, measure things, test things, ask questions. So where I would begin is with Jesus. What did Jesus do? Now, let me set this as a caveat. Jesus was arguably the most intelligent person that ever walked the face of the earth. He's God. Obviously, he could win the argument. Now, why did he choose not to argue more often than not? Often, he would just ask a rhetorical question. Whose face is on the coin? Why do you call me Lord? Well, which one of you is without sin? And do you want to throw the first stone? And then Jesus would shut up and be quiet. And he would let the broken worldview of his adversaries collapse while they drop their stones and walk away. We need to have confidence in asking a question. Then we need to have the confidence to be quiet and let the broken worldview, let the lie play itself out. Because if Jesus chose to do that, maybe we'd be wise to follow in his steps. So the first answer to your question from me would be, don't be intimidated, have confidence in the question, and maybe follow in the steps of Christ.
So you just tell me that opinions, everybody says opinion, and opinions don't matter. If I'm getting my kids, and I'm catechizing my kids, isn't it, I mean, you're going back, you're arguing with facts and opinions, are you not?
Well, you know, one of the things you hit was that purpose of education used to be to create character, integrity, etc.
Mm-hmm.
And Benjamin Rush, founding father, signed the Declaration, one of the three most famous educators in America. He said, without religion, I believe learning does real mischief to the morals and principles of mankind. Because if you don't have that foundation of absolute truth, of right, of moral truth, of God's word, everything you do up here becomes egocentric. You point it towards yourself or filling your belly or getting a higher income. Not that that's bad, but that's not the purpose of education.
Absolutely. Is education to fill the belly, or is it to teach you to use your brain? Belly or brain?
Brain.
Again, is it career or character? Is it information or is it integrity? So there are clear goals of education. Richard Weaver, 1948, said ideas have consequences. I know you guys have spoken of his book before. It's a pretty shrewd statement, isn't it? Ideas have consequences. Ideas matter. Good ideas bear good fruit, good culture, good government, good church, good community. Bad ideas bear bad culture, bad church, bad government, bad community. So ideas have consequences. They will bear fruit. No idea will lie fallow. So this postmodern idea that everything's relative and it doesn't matter what you believe as long as it works for you is mush. It's pablum. It makes no sense. It's literally nonsense. It's like saying, I can't tolerate your intolerance, or I hate those hateful people, or I'm sure that nothing is sure, and I'm absolutely confident there are no absolutes, and I know that nothing can be known. This is nonsense, and I live in this world. It's like watching a dog chase its tail. I get dizzy. You just need to slap the dog on the nose and say, stop it. This needs to stop. There's a goal. There's a goal here, and it's to pursue truth. It's to use your brain, not just fill your belly.
Wow. The goal here is to pursue truth, not just to fill your belly. You know, it's to exercise your brain so that you can learn and serve others. When we get back from this break, we're going to continue to talk about how we can glorify God through a proper understanding of education and how we can serve others. Join us when we get right back from this break.
You know, we got to begin to rethink being the church. Mm-hmm. And one thing that's very important to understand right now, we have an offer for you. It's offer 1999, and it's number 1999. And it is called, you know, this is a conversation that I had about, you know, signs of the Lord's returning, because we're in those days. This is like the times of the signs of the Lord's returning. And it's very important to ask the question, are you ready? A lot of people are so into end time things and that type of stuff. And I'm not saying the world's coming to an end, but as you can see right here, it's you know, signs of the Lord's returning. Are you ready? And you even see the scripture right there. You see the scripture where he says, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangels, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first.
Wow.
And others will go to meet him in the air. I mean, this is in those days. And, you know, there's a lot of questions that you can have, but the most important question we need to know the answer to is the one that Nicodemus had, which is, how must I be saved?
Yes.
You know, not all these theories and stuff. And also I talk about in this to help you, and this is totally yours as a gift for partnering today, is the signs. What do these signs particularly mean? This battle for the Temple Mount that we're talking about, this is a sign of the Lord's returning. When you look at what's happening with our own nation, when you're seeing, you know, the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association putting out their magazine decision saying, prepare for persecution, prepare for when a nation turns its back on God, basically it's saying, these are signs, are rapidly moving signs, and you need to be prepared. We just want to give this to you, partnership for any amount at all. And as our partners, we're doing this thing together. God knows, he sees us. He says, listen, I command you, this is the command, to be the light of the world, to be the salt of the earth. And you can partner today by going to vfntv.com and click on partner now, which you can see, or you can write to us at 6500 North Pensacola Boulevard, Pensacola, Florida, 32505, or you can even call 844-408-3688. And it's so important to understand how to connect. This is how, I mean, you want to, when the Lord returns, and he is, and we're going to all stand before the throne of God, you want to be able to say, you know what? Together, I stood with VFN TV to be the light, to keep the light shining 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and on the Gulf Coast every single day, Monday through Friday. Think about that. And it's not enough to know the news. You need to know what to do with the news that you know. And how does this happen? It happens because of you saying, you know what? I do want a partner. And what we want to do is give you this gift. It's called Signs of the Lord's Returning, Are You Ready? It's offer 1999.
We appreciate your partnership. Do it today, and also talk to other people about partnering. We love hearing from you, and it's so encouraging when you call, when you write, when you send emails, when you like our Facebook page, because we know that we're not alone. And so many people are saying, listen, we understand that the answer is not in Washington, D.C. or who we elect, but the answer is Jesus. The answer is the gospel. The answer is the Lord. And together, it's a team that's coming together. We're partnering to keep the conversation light. And it's through our partnership and the stuff that we're doing together. I'm just so excited.
Yes.
And as the partners continue to come on, I mean, these are wonderful resources that you need to feed your spirit, but also that you can share the word with your family and your friends. It takes all of us, and the times are short. So we're just privileged to have this time, you know, with you guys.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at vfntv.com. We'll be right back.
want to say this. You know, I want to thank all of our VFN TV partners who stand with us.
Yes.
And it's amazing how we're standing together mm-hmm. to be able to do this. And we have so many things as just as a thank you for our, you know, your partnership. As mm-hmm. you know, we have an entire partnership area, you know,
yeah,
in regards
it's
to
very exciting.
What's available there. But today, as a matter of fact, this right now we have an offer for our VFN TV partnerships of a free gift for you for those that partner today. It is a weapon of peace. And you think about it. Jesus said in John 14:27, peace I leave with you. Peace I give to you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. Mm. Trust in God. Think
Trust
about this.
God.
That all these things that we're hearing as believers, you know, we can have peace. I mean, you look at this guy right here. I mean, you look at him kicked back and relaxed in this is how we should be. This is exactly how we should be. And if we don't have that peace, it's like, I have what the world has
mm-hmm.
because he gives us this peace. And so I want to encourage you. We have that available for you right now. You can call. You can go online at VFNTV.com as you're seeing right here. You can call, go online at VFNTV.com, a partner now, or you can go to, you see the mailing address. You can even mail in your
That's
gift,
right.
a gift of any size whatsoever. And this gift's available for you in DVD or CD. You request it.
And as a partner.
That is amazing.
You want to get this because you may be able to share this with somebody else. Today, so many people are struggling with anxiety and stresses and fears.
Right.
And there's nothing like the peace of God.
Right.
And you can introduce them to the Prince of Peace. So please get this. Be a part and share it with a friend.
And it's a weapon. You think about it. You know, somebody's breaking into your house. You grab a bat, you grab a gun, you grab something to protect mm-hmm. yourself. Well, here we are, and all these things taking place in the world right now. He's left us the weapon of peace. He tells us to have our feet fitted with the gospel of peace. Where we're walking and what we're doing, you got to have this peace. And this is a message that's going to really encourage you. Just want to give it to you for your partnership of any amount. Like I said, go to VFNTV.com. You can call or you can write. And join the many partners that are keeping us going. And mm-hmm. we want to keep the light shining all the way around the nation.
That's right.
And around the world.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Wow, I'm having tremendous hope here that mm-hmm. education can be redeemed.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so important because you look about it. I love what he said. He said the purpose of education is to formulate character and integrity. And education, is it to fill the belly or is it to fill the brain?
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to start asking the question, why do we want to be educated? And today, you know, you look at the effort students today, I mean, in general, the effort is just basically to get by. I mean, you talk mm-hmm. to a lot of students today.
Or get that grade.
Yeah, there's some students, you know, they're high achievers. But you talk to a lot of students and I just want to get by. Ask a student, do you study to get straight A's or enough to get by? And I tend to think you may hear, I just want to get by.
Get that C+.
Yeah, so if you study to get by, then you're going to get, grades are going to get you by. You're getting a job that you're just, you know, getting by. And that getting by job is going to give you getting by pay, you know. And why? When you can seize the moment,
mm-hmm.
make the most of every opportunity, and have a good understanding of why am I, you know, it's not important just to know what you're doing, but you have to know why you're doing what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And if you embrace education as a way that you can serve God, what a tremendous blessing. Serve God and serve others.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we're here for. I need to learn not so that I can just fill my belly, my own needs, right?
Mm-hmm.
But also so that I can take care of other people and share with them and train them and educate them on things that they need to know.
Mm-hmm.
I love what the inventor, the scientist, the farmer, George Washington Carver said. He said he once asked God to show him the secrets of the universe. However, he says God only wanted to share with him the secrets of the peanut. And so you would think, well, is that a big deal? Well, he had hundreds of inventions with mm-hmm. peanuts, and he served mankind for so many years. Continue today.
Yeah.
What if we really began to start asking God, Lord, teach me, help me in my learning so that I not only take care of myself, but I can serve my generation, that I can glorify you with the things that I'm learning to help and benefit society and people as a whole.
What I think is powerful, too, is he said that, you know, education used to be about character. And it's just like the word character is such a foreign topic in our culture right now. It's just like, what does it mean to have character? Yeah. When you understand the fact that it's not just about, you know, growing knowledge. You know, the Bible says knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. And he said that, you know, opinions are dangerous, but truth sets us free. If we truly understood, you know, how differently would we approach education if we understood that, what am I learning and how can I benefit others with the intellect that I'm growing in? And it's just like we look at education in such a way, like you're saying, like, you know, I just have to better myself. But it's just like if we were look at it from a sense of a character standpoint and saying, like, how can I use this to help one another? How can I use this to lift someone else up, to teach someone?
Think about the things that in general people are learning. It's like, mm-hmm. you know so much about DC Comics, but can you come into the real world right now? Can you tell us some other things besides these? I understand comics are interesting, but can you get past the trilogy and learn something that we can all, you know, benefit from? And I want to encourage you today, decide today that you want to be a life learner, that life, that learning doesn't stop when you finish school, but that you will continue to be a learner and that you will teach others with the things that you've learned. Hey, listen, we want to pray with you right now. We ask you always, please pray for us. We need it. Let's join together. Yes. Father, Lord, we thank you, God, for this privilege, Lord, to be alive, Lord, to have a brain, Lord, that we can exercise. Father, I pray that you would help us, Lord, to turn the page and to embrace education in such a way, Lord, that we can glorify you, that we can train others, Lord. Your word says, train up a child in the way they should go. When they're old, they won't depart. Help us, Lord, not just to do learning, but to do training, critical thinking, and expanding of our minds so we can serve you and serve others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for watching. We want to give special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com. On your mobile applications, you can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.
I love VFN Radio. You know, when I'm not saying it because I'm part of it, is the fact that I listen to it when I'm not on it, because it's the Word of God. It's a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And I encourage you to get a device, a radio or an I something or an something, and put it on your desk at work, and, you know, put it by the kitchen sink and just carry it with you or whatever, and just listen. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Think about it. 24 hours, 7 days a week, all around the world, you can hear VFN Radio. And if you miss a segment, that you just like catch a half of it, don't be disappointed like it used to be. Oh, I'm just so disappointed. I'm sure the first part of that was good. You can actually go into the highlights or go to the VFN Torch, and you can hear the whole segment. The whole segment. And in addition to that, you can have podcasts downloaded into your devices, and podcasts are so cool because you can keep them forever in your own storage device. But be encouraged. Understand that this is very, very important, because as the days progress, although it gets darker and darker in the outside for the church, for those who love God, it gets lighter and lighter. This is what the Word of God says. He says, your peace in the midst of chaos and trouble and disaster is a witness to those who don't know God. He says this is a witness to them, letting them know that you're going to be saved by God. God's going to protect you in it. But to them, it's a witness that they're going to be destroyed unless they know God, which is a witness. You're just having peace And by listening to VFN Radio, you can keep that peace. You can keep that peace so you can be a witness. Sometimes your greatest witness is to sit beside somebody while they're watching the daily news and just relax and have a cup of coffee mm-hmm. while they're biting their fingernails. It's like, what? Mm-hmm. I mean, really mean it. You know, not, they aren't faking it. It's just like, mm-hmm. what?